The purpose of Retire with Style is to help you discover the retirement income plan that is right for you. The first step is to discover your retirement income personality. Start by going to risaprofile.com/style and sign up to take the industry's first financial personality tool for retirement planning.
Hey everyone, welcome to Retire with Style. I'm Wade and I'm here with Alex, and we're continuing our arc on long-term care, looking today at the costs and prevalence of long-term care. We'll look at the probabilities of needing long-term care and what the costs might then be for those long-term care needs. So we got a lot on the plate today to get through, Alex. But before that, what's new in your world?
Well, we just recorded this interesting podcast on why long-term care is important. So we've done that. That was pretty cool. Now,
and you're continuing your sartorial trend of wearing
mohair.
I forget what you
mohair, call that, mohair sweaters. I don't know if you remember last year. I always had like a cardigan for like every day. I think I bought like I had a ton of them, and then I would send them to my buddies, just me posing weirdly and, you know, just like looking like a whatever, an old man L.O. Bean thing, just to get the reaction. I wouldn't tell them anything. I just sent a random picture of me like in the kitchen or something like that in like a cardigan. And after a while, they were just like freaking out. And this year it's mohair.
They gave up on you.
Oh, I don't care. This year was mohair. So I'm all over that. My wife, though, she makes fun of me because she says, you look like a hairy person. Because it's all these like stringy kind of, I think it's angora.
It's comfortable or itchy?
No, it's not itchy at all. It's actually pretty soft. It's nice. I actually like it. You wouldn't, I know what you're saying because it's, you know, it looks like there's hairs all over it, but no, it's quite nice, really. And I figured, yeah, why not? Let's try it this year. That's me, my theme this year. So that's new.
Keeps you warm.
The kids, the twins, I have twins that they turned 18 on the 20th. So a few days ago. And it looks like they're going to go to one of the Virginia schools. They're debating between Virginia Tech and James Madison. So we'll see what happens. Although, Ander got it for Virginia Tech. Ander and Mateo applied. And Ander applied, I think, to the general business. No, sorry. Mateo applied to the general business. And Ander applied to the financial planning program in Virginia Tech. Now, they did that not necessarily because, oh, I want to be a planner. But because, you know, sometimes you're playing the odds and you can always switch majors. And he was thinking, oh, if I apply to business, it's probably more competitive. Let me apply to the financial planning piece. But afterwards, I told him, you know, I think it is. I told him, you know, Virginia Tech's one of the best financial planning programs in the country.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I asked you the other day, who are some of the professors there that you may know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely right up there in the top 5 or 10 programs in the country. Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, University of Georgia.
Absolutely. Ander got in the Virginia Tech program.
Kansas State.
We'll see what happens. It's a toss-up between Virginia Tech or, what's it called? James Madison. We'll see. But that's kind of what they wanted. So that's what's going on in the Murguia household right now. The big reveal. The big reveal.
Big college decision.
Yeah. Now, in a few years,
I'll do a podcast on college aid or college financial.
Actually, you're right. But next, because part of it was, you know, they're not gonna, you know, I'll have this conversation with Wade in 5 years when his kids are, you know, graduating, and the conversation will be the Virginia schools. It'll be like, oh, which Ivy League program are they thinking about doing, or something like that. But for me, I remember telling them, listen, it's not the cost, but I don't necessarily think going to Indiana University, you know, a good school or whatever, which is comparable, let's just say, to Virginia Tech. Why am I going to pay for the privilege of the out of price ticket charge on that?
Yeah, out of state like tuition for a public university.
You can't justify that. At least for me.
No,
at least in my mental calculation.
At the Texas public, especially like financial planning, although I don't think my children will necessarily be interested in financial planning, but Texas Tech, Virginia Tech, they're both great options. UT Austin is another good in-state school.
So. Oh, but that's a general school. But for planning, I think it's just Texas Tech, right?
Not for Right, Texas Tech is the quote unquote Harvard of financial planning. Yes,
I'm sure Harvard. I was in the Harvard bookstore the other day, and I bought a sweater that said Harvard, the Texas Tech of the North. It was amazing. Although now, you know, with all the, you know, the whole rigmarole that they're going through, which this is Retired with Style, so we're not going to get into that. We'll see how that lands.
Right, but they don't really have a financial planning program, so it's not even in the competition.
Yes, you guys are going to say I was going to go to Harvard, but they didn't have my financial planning major, so I chose Texas Tech.
Texas Tech all the way.
Yes, there we go. All right, fire away, man. Long-term care, where were we?
Yeah, cost and prevalence of long-term care.
Okay.
Now, to just introduce the idea at some level, we're going to start talking about probabilities of long-term care needs and their lengths. But at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily matter all that much, because it's really, as an individual, you don't get to rely on these distributions. You're either going to have a long-term care need or you're not. And so,
yeah, but
if that's something you're going to plan for.
But there's some people. So we keep them listening. And so they don't just hang up and say, okay, we're done. No need. It's good to know what the odds are for things like this. Regardless,
they come up on
the end game shouldn't be, oh, it's only 20%, so I'm not going to worry about it. No, not at all. You know, right. But let's just give you a sense. In fact, it's the other way around. I mean, there's some folks that are sometimes overly anxious about this, in the sense that they don't even move forward because there's just this fear of dread. It's this pervasive dread that comes over them when it comes to these kind of issues. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to put in some realistic expectations, but the end result is, and you see, don't worry about it. No, the end result is more the Boy Scout thing. Always be prepared. Hey, were you a Boy Scout? I never even asked you. I think you were, right?
I did Cub Scouts through the Bear. Though.
Man, I would have bet money.
I didn't even make it to Weeble.
I would have bet money you did the Boy Scout kind of thing.
It's like an Eagle Scout or something.
Just, you have that vibe. I would have thought 100%. I guess I don't know who you really are. I don't know who you really are.
Male leadership in my life. So.
Well, you know who's Eric Clark. I think he's an Eagle Scout, which is pretty cool. But, all right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you become an astronaut and stuff. Okay. Where were we? So anyway, that being said, let's get into what it mainly referencing. It can be hard to find data on this sort of thing, but there is the Department of Health and Human Services puts out a really good report, and sometimes they go a long time without updating it. Fortunately, it's still been relatively recent. They did update their report in August 2022, and so they have really good information. What they focus on is right now, it's for people turning 65 between 2021 and 2025. So if you're right in that range where you're about age 65, what are the odds that you're going to experience a long-term care event in your lifetime? And that's really what their report is focused on. They also provide some cost estimates around that. And we'll talk also about Genworth, which is famous for providing their cost estimates of long-term care events.
And this is before we get into the numbers, something I would say is, there's two levels of long-term care there that you may be asking yourself. There's, do I need long-term care? What are the chances I'm going to need long-term care? Now, that's a yes or no, et cetera. But beyond that is, if I need long-term care, about how long will I need it? Because obviously it's very different, 1 year of long-term care versus 7 years of long-term care versus whatever, 14 years. And the caveat is sometimes when you kind of need long-term care, it's not necessarily that the end is near, but that's usually because there's some issues that are starting to exacerbate your overall health. And so, you know, it's probably going to be a shorter time than a longer time.
Right. For the average person, unless it is more of a dementia related need, then that's where the sky's the limit on how long the need may last. But yes, in many cases, the triggers for needing long-term care are also general triggers for the end being closer rather than further away. Is that an empathetic way?
I don't know. I was just thinking the first, I started the whole thing off with, it doesn't mean that the end is near, but...
Not if it's a dimension trigger, but if it is other...
But some...
Other
things. Yeah, exactly. Let me just leave it there. There's no way to do it. Other than saying it. But all right, go on. So what are the percentages here?
Well, and that, when you said there were two different things, we're going to talk about two different sets of numbers. The first set will be more depressing than the second set. But the distinction is any need versus paid need. So, of course, a lot of long-term care is unpaid, and it's coming from family members or friends. So it's not coming out of your pocket, although it may be coming out of their pocket in terms of if they have to derail their careers and that sort of thing. There's definitely that consideration. But in terms of you paying for care, much long-term care is, or a spouse, family, friends, your spouse is the one providing care for you. Any kind of long-term care is what we'll talk about first. And then we'll switch over to numbers that may seem less depressing, but it's the probability and length of paid long-term care. So first, the probability and length of any long-term care event. And for men, and this is, again, people about age 65 right now, so turning 65 between 2021 and 2025, 49% of men will need long-term care help. That's the 100 days or more. 64% of women. And all these numbers are going to be higher for women because women... They live longer than men, which I guess would be the main trigger with this particular category. So there's more time for long-term care events to happen. So 49% for men, 64% for women. How long do these long-term care needs last? The average for men is 2.5 years. The average for women is 3.6 years. So more than a year longer. And then in terms of just the distribution of, so that we talk about, so not needing any care, that's just the opposite. Half of men, 51% of men, 36% of women will not have any long-term care need after age 65 in their lifetime. And as Alex was talking about last week, that sudden death just means you may not need long-term care. So that's one of the reasons, but those are the probabilities. Not needing care, needing care for 1 year or less, 11% of men, 12% of women. Needing care for 1 to 2 years, 7% of men, 9% of women. Needing care for 2 to 5 years, 13% of men, 16% of women. And then the last category they have is needing care for 5 or more years. So more than 5 years, 18% of men, 26% of women. So about a fifth of the population, 22% combined for men and women, will need help with a long-term care event for 5 years or longer.
So just to, in case people are listening, and I'm always sensitive when we're kind of reading from a phone book here, right? We're just reading a table. No, Wade's actually doing it from memory.
I'm reading from a table.
but when you said men, 49%. Men who will need care, 49%, right? And then we go down the list. Percentage of men who need 1 year or less, 11%. To be clear, it's not the 11% of 49%. It's 11%.
Of the total. Yeah, so 51% of men don't need any care, then 11% need care for less than a year.
And so also if you're doing planning and you're doing your budgeting and all that jazz, if you will, if you combine the percentages between, okay, 49% of men, 64% of women, and you and your wife are doing your planning, it comes out to 56%. We'll need, you know, the odds are 56%. Of your, you know, you'll have a 56% chance of needing to solve for this long-term care need.
Yeah, there's more women than men at ages 65 and older.
So there you have it. Yeah. It's interesting too, the extra year. Like men are at 2.5 years. So once you go in, you know, men average 2.5 years, women average 3.6 years. Now, obviously, there's no silver lining because that means that you don't need more, not because all of a sudden you're not in long-term care and now you're able to live by yourself. It's you've passed, right? But if you...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that percentage is. Of course, some people will have a long-term care need and then they get over
that's
it.
That's negligible, I would say, relatively speaking.
Think it's going to be a lower percentage.
Yeah, and so the point that I'm trying to make with this is long-term care, right? You have, you know, 2.5 years is the average. Only 18% of men will need it more than 5 years, and 26% of women will need it more than 5 years. So some folks, when they're doing their budgeting, they think, I need $5 million for long-term care because I, you know, what happens if I need to live there for 20 years? That's most likely not going to happen. It's really this burst that needs to be funded. Now, that burst can be extremely expensive, but it's not like in perpetuity, if you will.
Right. There's never a zero problem. You can't 100% manage every possible risk in retirement. So, of course, someone could experience a 20-year long-term care event, but it's not at all reasonable to ask people to plan in advance to be able to fund 20 years of long-term care before they can retire.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work out.
Let me put you on the spot, since you do a lot of this stuff. This doesn't have to be thought out. This could be just what's your intuition? If you were to do your budget, your own budget, because a lot of times folks just ask, you know, what would you do in your situation, Wade? If you're doing your own budget and you're thinking about long-term care, how many years do you think you would try to save for?
Well, I can actually answer this question because I do have my own financial plan. I have a plan for myself and my wife, plan through age 100 for the last 5 years of that. So ages 96 to 100, I add in today's dollars, but adjusted for inflation, an extra $100,000 a year budgeted for long-term care. So it's
for both of you
in today's dollars, $500,000
combined.
Combined to be split between us as needed.
So 500 grand for 5 years is
500 grand.
Okay.
In today's dollars. Now it'd be discounted because I'm assuming the money will grow before.
Yeah.
I'm 96 years old. But
okay. I'm behind on my planning, everyone. Let me start. I'll just go up to retirement. I'll worry about it later once I retire. But there we are. Okay. So that's fun with numbers. Any other?
And we'll talk more about budgeting in one of our last episodes in the arc. Because, of course, if you have a long-term care need, that's going to reduce some of your other expenses. Like you're not going to be traveling and so forth. So part of planning for long-term care is accounting for offset. Like just because a nursing home may cost $100,000 a year doesn't simply. So when I said I'm adding $100,000 to my budget, that's also a conservative estimate because I didn't reduce my non-long-term care budget as part of that.
That's a good point. When we're talking long-term care, we mean like the formal definition of long-term care. We're not including time. These numbers do not include time spent when someone comes to visit your house, you know, like just regular time, your family coming over, and there's a cost to that kind of stuff. Things that are not necessarily, you know.
Well, with the numbers we just talked about, that would include unpaid care as well. So that would include estimates around you're receiving informal care through unpaid caregivers.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what's partly inflating these numbers, getting the men on average 2.5 years, women on average 3.6 years. It's not an out-of-pocket expense that you face, but we do have to consider it is. And there's non-direct costs of having family members providing care, especially if it disrupts their own careers.
Gotcha.
And their own health.
Okay. Stress
and stuff. Curious if you should be looking at a Roth conversion or what a Roth conversion even is? Head over to mcleanam.com/Roth to get McLean's free ebook, Is a Roth Conversion Right for You? And learn about when you might want to do a Roth conversion. And when you might not. Just head over to mcleanam.com/Roth to download your free ebook today.
So then what's the next one then? What would be the paid long-term, the projected use of paid long-term care?
Yeah, so these numbers are less depressing in terms of probabilities and lengths, but this is explicitly how long or what's the chance you have to actually pay someone for care, whether it's an in-home caregiver that is a paid in-home caregiver, or whether it's moving to an institutional environment, assisted living, and so
forth. And this
is
what my comment is addressed towards this one.
Yeah, and this is, so 39% of men, 51% of women will need to pay for long-term care at some point in their retirement or in their life. And on average for men, it's 0.6 years. For women, it's 1 year. So the much lower. Before we said men, 2.5 years for long-term care support. It's 0.6 years for paid long-term care support. That means the other 1.9 years is unpaid care. For women, we said 3.5 years, 1 year of paid care. So 2.5 years of that was unpaid care.
Okay. So just to make it clear to everyone, because when we reviewed the first set of numbers, we didn't say unpaid care. We just said long-term care. And that meant like all in number, unpaid and paid. So this one actually
– unpaid and paid.
So if I'm a listener, to some extent, this one is the one that I'm more interested in, at least if I'm me myself, because I want to know what's coming out of pocket, not necessarily me calling my sister to say, hey, come on over. I need Epsom salt or something like that.
Well, the unpaid care could be a little more involved than asking for a quick favor. This is where you're paying out of pocket, but we can't discount when adult children, when a spouse, when someone is called into action to provide this care, it can be very disruptive to their own life. And this, if they're in the peak of their career, this can be very disruptive to their ability to plan for their own retirement.
100%, Wade. I just want to make sure, from a listener's vantage point, that the numbers you're talking about now have more to do with the actual out-of-pocket costs that they're going to experience.
That's a distinction.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
This is about how long you're going to be paying the bills.
Yeah, exactly.
Directly paying the bills.
Okay, what are those numbers?
Or it could be your children are paying the bills for you, but this is...
Somebody's cutting a check.
A professional is being paid to provide you long-term care rather than an unpaid family member or friend.
Okay, and what are those numbers then?
Well, that's why I just...
Yeah, 39.
The 39% of men for an average of 0.6 years, 51% of women for an average of 1 year, average length of 1 year. And then that percentage needing paid care for 5 years or longer, these are much lower. Before, we were talking about in the ballpark of 20%. For men, it's 3%, and for women, 6% will need to pay for care for 5 years or longer.
So that's significantly
down. Where that sounds less depressing.
Yeah, because it goes from 18, for men, it goes from 18% just needing long-term care. That's of significance. That's going to be impactful. Let me say it like that. That 18 goes down to 3% when you're talking about actually cutting checks. That's not taking into account the human cost of things, but just or opportunity cost of things. This is just 5 years or more goes down from 18% to 3%. And for women, it's from 26% to 6%.
Mm-hmm. So you're feeling better now?
Well, no. It's still, I mean, there's... Because men are still, there's 40% chance, rough 39% chance they're cutting a check for long-term care. And for women, 51% chance that somebody will be cutting a check for long-term care. What is striking to me is that paid long-term care is about half a year for men and 1 year for women. And so this is something that's, they're like grapes. It just comes in bunches, these expenses.
Yeah, it's probably worth emphasizing, like, long-term care to some extent is more of an issue for women than for men, because women live longer than men. On average, the wife tends to be younger than the husband in a couple. So not only do women live longer, but if they're also 2 years younger than their spouse, that's another 2 years to add to that. So a lot of times, like on average, if the husband has a long-term care need, the wife is being the unpaid caregiver. This is depleting the family's financial resources. This is creating stress, perhaps hurting the health of the wife and so forth, providing this care. The husband passes away, and then later, now the wife is going to need long-term care. It may have been triggered in part by the stress of being the caregiver for so long.
That's
financial assets will be more depleted by that point. There may not be someone to provide that care, maybe more need to have financial to pay for care because the wife was the unpaid caregiver before. So the need for paid care, it's more significant for women to some extent because of these particular reasons.
I think there's something there, and the anecdote is not evidence, but for my own situation with my in-laws, it was the same issue, only the genders were switched. my wife's grandfather was taking care of the grandmother, and that exacerbated his condition significantly, in which they both ended up, you know, needing paid care much quicker. And then the same with my mom taking care of my dad. So I do agree there's this sort of, even though it's unpaid, there's always a cost, right? And mm-hmm. now that we talked about percentages, what are dollar amounts that we're thinking about here?
Yeah, the dollar amount. So we'll switch over and talk about the Genworth cost of care study in just a moment. But to finish with this government report we've been describing, the estimates they provided, these are in, even though the article came out in 2022 in 2020 dollars, so there's been a lot of inflation since 2020 already. But the for men, their average lifetime expenditures were $121,500. And for women, the average lifetime expenditures were $156,300. When you add those together, well, and that would be, it's less likely that both, two people are less likely to both need the average long-term care expenditure. But for, if you just add those, you're looking at $277,800, which maybe slightly coincidentally, these numbers are similar to what that Fidelity healthcare cost looks like, but these are different. This is, so it's like $300,000 for healthcare plus, you know, close to $300,000 for long-term care.
So are you saying with $600,000, you're all set?
For the healthcare and long-term care? Yeah.
Well,
potentially.
Potentially. But it doesn't take into consideration the first table that we're talking about, which is just the human cost, the, you know, time spent, et cetera. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple more points before we get into that Genworth cost of care study. So what triggers the long-term care need? It could be an accident, it could be chronic illness, could be a dementia-related concern. As people age, just the risks of things like strokes and dementia are triggering that increased probability for needing care. Of course, long-term care needs can happen at much younger ages, but it just, as you get older, the probabilities increase for needing care. If your family history includes longevity, living a long time, in addition to things like dementia, Alzheimer's, neurological disorders, that can all contribute to a higher probability of needing long-term care. And then we mentioned this last week, but to just mention again, the irony is the healthier you are, the more likely you're going to need long-term care at some point, because you're going to live longer and you're just going to be more exposed to these events happening with age where a long-term care need will be triggered. Unhealthy people may not live long enough to need long-term care. Healthy people, ironically, are more exposed to the risk of needing long-term care.
Yeah, looking at the stuff too that went to this a little bit, can you explain this? Because this was just a side note that I thought was interesting. DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, estimates that on average, women needing paid care will require 34,800 more to be set aside at 65. I would assume more than men, if you will. I'm bringing that up. You said it previously in terms of the end number, but if someone's budgeting for this and there's a husband and a wife, you talk about you and your wife, you just did, okay, it's 500,000, you know, call it, you know, and you're splitting it evenly. But here, if these are separate policies, et cetera, this is something where you may want to provide a little more cushion for the wife than for the man.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of just figuring out, like implicitly, I guess what you could say about the plan I have for my wife and I is maybe I'll need 2 years, she'll need 3 years, so it adds up to 5 years. That's pretty conservative, because the odds that both people have that kind of long-term care need are less than the odds of just one person having that type of long-term care need.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, we saw in the numbers that women have longer needs than men, even for both paid and unpaid. And so that's what's really directly contributing to those higher cost estimates for women.
Okay. Now, can we get to the numbers? Are we good?
Yeah. And so the other, and this is where, you know, as time goes by, it seems like things are getting less lower quality. Like Genworth used to do this annual update. They have these very detailed numbers about the cost of long-term care. They haven't updated it since 2021 at this point. So it used to be every year. So I'm sorry, we're talking about 2021 numbers, but there isn't anything more recent. But that being said, they go state by state. We'll talk about the national averages and we'll mention a little bit about the state by state differences. But they provide estimates on a daily, monthly, and annual basis, which is just simply monthly is 30 times daily, and annual is, I think, I don't know, probably 12 times a monthly. You can reverse engineer the different categories there based on durations. I'll just talk about the annual numbers. They talk about for homemaker services in 2021, on average in the United States, $59,488 a year. If you have a homemaker, which is different or distinct from a home health aide, but these are both in-home care services. A home health aide is $61,776. So they're both in the ballpark of $60,000 a year on average in the U.S. An adult daycare center, and this is going to be more in the context of an unpaid caregiver being the main helper, but that for that individual to go to work, then you have the individual go to the adult daycare to get service during the daytime, community activities, many different things going on there. The average cost of an adult daycare center per year, $20,280. You've got the assisted living facilities, which actually the price was a little bit less than that really detailed in-home care. Assisted living facilities were averaging $54,000 in the U.S. And then nursing homes, they distinguish between semi-private rooms, I think that's just two people per room, versus a private room where you've got your own room. The semi-private rooms, $94,900 per year on average in the U.S. The private nursing home room, $108,405 a year.
How, when someone's, again, doing their planning around this, what growth rate on the expenses do you put on this?
Yes, so we usually think of long-term care expenses growing faster than the overall inflation rate. In the last few years, that hasn't necessarily been the case, but we'll talk about as well over time, probably it will be the case that long-term care costs grow faster than the overall price level. So if you're thinking like, well, I'm planning for inflation in the 2 to 3% range, you might be wanting to inflate these types of long-term care numbers at closer to 5%. And that was over the previous 5 years from 2021. The in-home care was growing at more than 5% a year. Assisted living facilities were growing at 4.4% a year over the previous 5 years. The nursing homes were closer to 3% on average over the previous 5 years, which is a bit of an anomaly. They were more growing faster than inflation. And again, probably we shouldn't just apply those numbers. It's probably reasonable to inflate those numbers at a couple percentage points higher than what you're using for your overall inflation rate if you're projecting these long-term care expenses into the distant future, which can really compound. There's all these trade-offs of, well, I'm saying $100,000 when I'm 96 years old. That's kind of linked to these $100,000 ranges for nursing homes. Now, really, that $100,000 should be inflated at a much higher rate than the overall inflation rate, and I'm not doing that. But on the other hand, I should also be offsetting other expenses because I won't simply have all that going into long-term care. So there are trade-offs there. And we do, with the Retirement Researcher Academy, and in my retirement planning guidebook, I've got a spreadsheet that shows how all these variables interact, and you can kind of get a customized sort of estimate that way, where you put in what is the long-term care expense in today's dollars, how much will other expenses reduce due to the long-term care event, what's your overall inflation rate, what's your long-term care inflation rate, what's the appropriate discount rate for the calculation, and it'll give you a present value of what it's going to take to fund that long-term. You also say, what age will the long-term care event begin? How long will it last?
Wait,
and then you'll get a present value on
wait,
that.
Wait, I'm looking at this, and one of the things that strike me, and I'm trying not to relate it to the clients at McLean and things like that, because obviously it's a limited sample, so I'm curious if you've seen a study on this, but you were showing stuff on long-term care. Excuse me, everyone. Long-term care and the percentages of people that will need it from a paid standpoint. And it seemed like, you know, for men, it's less than a year. But have you seen anything that does a little trajectory where, listen, this is kind of the path you take. First, you go to adult daycare, and you could do that for 5 years. But then eventually, you need services beyond adult daycare because the caretaker who's taking care of you can't wake up at 2 in the morning every day for and then take care of you for the next 3 hours from 2 to 5 a.m. because you won't go back to sleep. And so at a certain point, you need that nursing home piece of it or a home healthcare one. But you know what I'm getting? Like, these can stack on each other as well.
Right. Yeah, there's a progression. And I kind of, the way I mentioned those was the progression, but you're asking like more detailed, how long does each level
kind of
last?
Or if you've seen it? I haven't seen it. I'm just curious if you have.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any good data on that. And certainly in-home care can replace the need for institutional living if it's affordable.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking even the use case of adult daycare and then going to a nursing home. Because that mm-hmm. happened to my dad, frankly. And I've seen it happen to a lot of our clients. And so I'm trying to think about that within the context of the tables. And why? Because if I'm a reader, if I'm a listener, I probably would wonder. Because if we're saying the projected use of paid long-term care, you know, whatever, is 0.6 right. years for men.
And the right, and the government study does not break that down into what type
yeah,
of
and,
care.
And yeah, exactly. Like the, if someone does a, yeah. a point, if someone, if the same person does two things, do they count as two people or is it a continuation?
No, I don't think so either,
but I'm just trying to break that table, you know, with this. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, is there a gotcha here? And I haven't seen anything that says, look, this is the path that you're most likely to take.
In terms of
durations adult
for
daycare.
Each. No, we know the path, right? Nursing homes is last in the sequence there.
But I don't know about the prevalence of that path. Like, do you go boom right to nursing home,
right?
Or do you usually do daycare for 2 years and then they're like, you know what, they need more.
Yeah, and that may be more of a assisted living. It's the same situation. Yeah. You may start with assisted living, but then at some point they did make the determination that you need nursing care because they're not able to provide that 24-hour round the clock type service.
Okay. Again, just curious if you've seen anything.
No, I haven't. Okay. But we're talking about these national estimates and they do vary a lot state by state. So generally speaking, long-term care is more expensive in the Northeast New England part of the U.S., in the upper Midwest, the kind of Minnesota, Wisconsin area, the West Coast, Alaska, and Hawaii, Connecticut. Alaska is just off the charts. They're an anomaly. It's very expensive for long-term care in Alaska. But in the continental U.S., Connecticut's the most expensive state, where that median cost for a private nursing home room in a nursing home, $182,000 compared to that, I think I said $106,000 national average. The cheapest state in the U.S. for a private nursing home was Missouri, $71,000. And it's generally that south and southern Midwest area that's less expensive. Louisiana, Oklahoma both came in at less than $80,000 too. And there's a few other states. I think Texas is one of them. That's just slightly more than $80,000. So that the South, lower Midwest, is less expensive than the rest of the country surrounding
it. I wonder, I'm looking at these numbers. I wonder if there's even a calculation that someone takes where it's like, man, my house is good enough. I can hire two people, you know, to cover two shifts full time. And that may come in less than $180,000.
Oh, and like,
yeah, right. At a certain point, it's like, right, man, I could just hire people at this point.
Yeah. I think we already mentioned the point about how inflation generally higher for long-term care, and in, as of that study updated in 2021, that hadn't been as the case as much, but we should probably really anticipate it will be the case again in the future, where the cost of supporting long-term care needs is going to grow. There's a lot of demographic trends in terms of people having fewer children, so they're going to have less built-in unpaid caregivers. So there's going to, in the future, like if people who had three children who are now in their 80s and 90s, there's someone who may be more likely to take care of them. Yeah. People today having one child, less likely to have that, be in that position. And also with people moving around the country and everything else, it's just in the future, there's going to be more need for paid caregivers with the demographics. The percentage of the population that is at those more advanced ages is going to grow over time. There's estimates out there that, for instance, the number of Americans with Alzheimer's will triple by 2050, and that can require a lot of help with long-term care. So we're going to be increasingly in a situation, more people are going to need long-term care. There's going to be fewer younger people to provide that care. So you really have to anticipate probably those inflation rates are going to grow faster than the overall inflation rate. And so then Medicaid does provide that last resort funding option, but just due to the realities of supply and demand, it's going to be hard to maintain the sort of quality care through Medicaid. And so if you have the ability to self-fund, it may be worth really considering doing that rather than relying on Medicaid for this. I can see you're taking that all
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
that really is.
I'm trying to think about the listeners here from a takeaway standpoint. We provided the probabilities, we provided the numbers, and you've ended it with like, listen, this is something that's going to be more and more simply because that's the way the demographics are playing out, both for older folks, but even the younger generations may not be able to provide the support they were providing previously because, simply put, people are more mobile in the workforce and they may end up living in different areas than they were 50 years ago, 30 years ago, and the like. Look where you are right now. You're away from your mom. Look at me. I'm away from my parents. It's one of those things. And obviously, I'm still helping out, but it's to the point that, yeah, I'm flying to Miami, once every 45 days, right? Something like that. I think I've been averaging that for the last 2 years. Not everyone is in a situation that they can do that, so it's tougher. And so I think your point's well taken that, you know, long-term care, formal long-term care, paid long-term care is increasing in prevalence, not decreasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as we continue the arc with the next episode, we'll actually talk more about that continuum. We saw the continuum starting with the generous study there, but the range of different long-term care options, and then also introduced the idea of a continuing care retirement community, although they definitely took a hit with public perception during the pandemic. But we'll continue. Yeah. Yeah, just talking about different long-term care options.
And we got to find out how we can end on an up note for the next one. All right, everyone. Thank you for this very special edition of Retire with Style. We look forward to hitting you up next week as we continue this arc. Wait.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Catch you next week on Retire with Style.
Wade and Alex are both principals in McLean Asset Management and Retirement Researcher. Both are SEC-registered investment advisors located in Tysons, Virginia. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational and educational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific securities. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor. All investing comes with a risk, including risk of loss. Past performance does not guarantee future results.